How did they get a fresh shot clock out of it? It'll be Dellavedova gets the triple.
Well, Gasol is screened for Mills.
What a shot. Look how the degree of difficulty here by Patty Mills. Catching the basketball with contact. And how about the concentration here? There's the catch. There's the reach in by Schroeder. And the bucket by Mills.
Yeah, NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Friday, January 11. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action. Just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so we are halfway through the NBA season for most teams as of like today in the next couple of days. So we're joined by PDX Pete today, all the way from Oregon, to nut out some halfway through the season NBA Straya awards, which is awesome because we've got all the usual nerd ones like MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player, and Sixth Man of the Year. All those sort of nerd ones where everyone's like, oh, I think these guys are in the conversation for these, whatever. So we've got some cool, wicked ones as well, like biggest wanker of the season, coach you want to see shit canned, and bloke you want to see traded real bad though, eh? So that's pretty good. Also wrap all the games from yesterday and today, including a massive Spurs Thunder Classic. That's all going to be covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, pantsing of the evening, and even better than Lonzo Ball. We'll also pick and preview all the games for the weekend, which is pretty great. We'll check in on Kiwi Corner, and we've got a new Luke Longley All-Star, and we'll finish up with a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Oh, yes, he's back, the big fella. Can't wait. All right, it's going to be a good one. Let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Straya episode 215. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Or you better watch out for the, what, attack of the Nick Young if you're trying to take his photo or a servo. Jesus. Or you better watch out for the LaMarcus Aldridge attack if you're the Thunder. Damn, that was big. We're going to start today the way we start every day here at NBA Straya with the daily flip around. Boogie, still on track to be back next week, January 18, against the Clippers in Los Angeles. And we also have a little bit of news on LeBron James. He's going to miss at least another three games with his groin injury from all that fucking. And you know, our take here at NBA Straya, LeBron's faking his injury to make sure that he gets to boost the trade value of Brandon Spindles Ingram and Lonzo Spud Ball. Pretty bloody good, mate. Pretty bloody good. So we're looking. He's apparently clear to increase on-court functional basketball movements, some nerd on the team said. he's not going to miss. He's basically going to miss the Jazz on Friday, which is Saturday our time. He's also going to miss Sunday's home game against the Cavs, his old team, and the Bulls next Tuesday. So we're going to find out next Wednesday as to what's going on. It's going to be pretty interesting. So like around the 16th, we might know a little bit more. So there you go. Could have Boogie and LeBron back in the same week. Other news, we've got some sneaky reports out there that Draymond Green has a bit of a bum hip and is playing through it to get to his next contract. It sounds like a bunch of shit to me. Seems dumb considering he could just get the surgery now and play next year and like be up for his contract, no problems. And if it was already busted at like the start of the year, it would have been fine just like getting it done sooner rather than later. Yeah, sounds like some dumb fucking Bay Area reporting for me. Other news, we also had Jaylen Brown and Mook Morris, Flask Dad, on the Celtics, having a bit of a shoving match in their Miami game today. Flask Dad was probably saying some shit like, bitch, hit a three or are you about to be traded and you see the back of my fucking hand. And Jaylen Brown sputtered it up in that game anyway. But, you know, everyone sort of held them apart. Might be fine, who knows. And other news, Nick Young, as mentioned at the top, punched a guy in the dick for videoing him at a servo, taking photos. And he's like, all right, man, I don't like you taking photos or videos of me. I'm going to punch you right in the dick. Classic Swaggy P. Love it. Other injury news. Nerlens Noel, after his big head wang on the floor the other day, is in the concussion protocol. That makes sense. Larry Nance has a sprained MCL. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks. Deli, that's right, King Deli of Miraborough, first of his name, Smash Roof Tins, is dealing with a foot injury, which is why the Cavs brought in Campaign. Deli did manage to come back yesterday as well, though. We'll talk about that later in the Australian Player Watch. All right, so let's get into some raps, shall we? Tasty. Raps for yesterday, Thursday's games. We had a wicked slate, actually. Pacers versus Celtics. Celtics played their best game of the year. 135-108, they win at home. Demarcus Sabonis there, the Souvlaki King, smashed it for Indy, and it was like a pretty nice team win across the board for the old Celtics. 22 for Mook Morris, 20 for Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes. Jaylen Brown had a good one, 22. Kyrie stunk up the joint with 12 points, but still, not bloody bad. Victor Oladipo only had 17. Yeah, what are you going to do? The Nets beat the Hawks 116-100. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail. 30 points, 14 rebounds. He is a stud. Love it. Sixers lost to the Wizards 106-123 in their home and home back-to-back, which was weird. They smoked them the day before, don't forget. Joel Embiid had 35-14, battling mightily against Bradley Beal, who had 34-5. Nice. But the Sixers cop a loss. Wizards, I don't know what they're doing. What are y'all doing? How do you win that one after losing and getting shit pumped the day before? Wild. The Bucks beat the Rockets in an absolute pearler of a game. The Greek Freak had 27 points, 21 rebounds. Unbelievable. Well, fast Jimmy Harden had 42 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Rockets, man. That was a tough one at home. Losing to the Bucks. Meant to take you seriously. Can't when you do that. The Grizzlies beat the Spurs 96-86. This is wild. Coach Killer Marc Gasol had an awesome game. Yeah, 26 points and 14 rebounds against his brother. You know that the Gasol Hermanos, they love a good Gasol ball. And it's the only time Marc Gasol's played a fucking half-decent game in about 3 weeks. Good job, you dick. Paddy Thrills Mills was the only Spur to do anything. He had 13. The Pelicans smoked the Cavs 140-124. Anthony Davis had an absolute pearler. 38-13. Unreal with 7 assists. Jesus. The Mavericks beat the Suns 104-94. Luka Doncic was the standout there with 36-5. He might pop up a bit later. The Jazz, I believe it's pronounced Yaz. It's a soft J. Beat the Magic 106-93. Donovan fucking Mitchell had a 33.7 assist outing. The Trail Blazers 124-112 winners over the Bulls. Wendell was really good for the Bulls there. CJ McCollum was pretty good too, 24-4 for the Blazers. And the Lakers beat the Pistons 113-100 in Blake Griffin's return to LA. Since he got traded away by the Clips, he had 0 rebounds. First time that's ever happened. Wild. Kyle Kuzma had a game and a half though. And then today's games, absolute couple of rip snorters. Nuggets beat the Clippers 121-100. Nikola Jokic, hello, racked up another triple-double. That's two straight for the big, what is he, Serbian? Yeah, let's say that. 18-14-10, nice one. They are now 28-12, still on top of the West. Unbelievable. The Heat beat the Celtics in Miami. Boston, after smoking the Pacers in Boston, go down to Miami, get shit-pumped. Gee, do you reckon they were getting ready for the club? It's like, hey, guys, we're all going out tonight. Just think about that. Everyone's like, oh, yeah. 115-99. The Spurs Thunder was great, but we'll talk about Kings Pistons first. 112-102. Pistons lose back-to-back games in California. Kings bounce back very nicely now, 21-21. Pistons drop to 17-23. They're a fucking rabble, I'll tell you that much. And then finally, an absolute fucking classic. The Spurs beat the Thunder 154-147. In double overtime, Rusty Westbrook posts a triple-double of 24 points, 24 assists, and 13 rebounds, while LaMarcus Aldridge goes absolutely ham. And that leads us to the NBA Australia-approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That was a knife, LaMarcus Aldridge. Holy shit. Where did that come from? Not only did we have Klay Thompson with 43 points on 4 dribbles, we had Kuzma with 41 points on 16 of 24 shooting, including 5 of 10 from 3 for the Lakers. And as mentioned, Harden had 42 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, but he had 9 turnovers as well in a loss. Anthony Davis, 38 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 blocks. But that's against the Cavs. So LaMarcus Aldridge, you are the approved performance of the night. 56 points. I mean, yes, it was in 2 overtimes, but still. Got that giant honker of his in everything. Unreal game. 20 of 33 from the field, 16 of 16 from the free throw line. And anytime the Spurs needed a bucket, they gave it to the old LMA. Because DeRozan there was a little bit off here and there. He held, you know, kept them up in stretches, but then LaMarcus Aldridge was unfucking beatable. Almost from the tip as well. He was awesome. So 56 points, a career high. He smashed it. Good on him. Love these 50-point games this year. That is awesome. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, is it Enos the Penis Cantor? Oh, this is great. He was videoed eating 7 burgers and fries, and it's like, yes, I think a lot of fuel to get a rig moving, yes? And then missed practice the next day because he was sick. Nice.
It's a trap.
Yes, it is. Also, old mate, no mates. Look, the guy who was like taking videos of Nick Young without his permission. Look, getting punched in the dick, that seems fair. So you're definitely old mate, no mates. And James Harden, old mate, no mates. When it comes to the ball, the ball doesn't lie. Giannis whipped a ball into the lane and wanged James Harden right in the bonce. Fucking hell, it was glorious. This was great to watch. So go check out the video of that. I think we posted it. But it is awesome. James Harden copping a ball right in the head. You know he's cupped a couple of those. So nice one. Old mate, no mates. James Harden and his head against the ball. Good stuff. Who was, though, Spud of the night over the last couple of days?
Spud of the night.
All right, look, Andre Drummond, mate, I don't know what the fuck you were doing against the Lakers, but he went 2 of 12. This is a man who's like basically what, listed at 6'11". He's easy 7 foot. I've seen him in person. He's fucking gigantic. 2 of 12 from the field. You're like, oh, maybe he just had a bad night. He had 17 rebounds. It mustn't have been too bad. 2 of 12, though, is fucking ridiculous. The worst part for Andre Drummond, however, is that he went 0 of 3 from 3. Andre, what the fuck are you doing, you nong? Jesus Christ. 6 points he ends up with. Ugh, absolutely gross. Misses 4 of his 6 free throws. Misses all 3 of his attempted threes. He's like 4 of 26 for the season, so I don't know what the fuck he's doing. It's basically shooting Russell Westbrook numbers. That's wild. Also, the same day yesterday, the sex man, Colin Sexton, went 2 of 12 from the field as well, same as Andre. He had 4 assists and 2 turnovers. He was a minus 21. And yesterday, DeMar DeRozan there went 4 of 15 against the Grizzlies. And yeah, that'd be why they lost against the Grizz, the Spurs. But they did bounce back, get the win today against OKC, and he went 7 of 22.
Kobe!
Nice one, DeMar. 16 points, 11 assists though today, so you can't really begrudge him that one. But yesterday, 4 of 15, 9 points. That's some impressive spud work. The panting of the evening goes to the Celtics in Miami. As mentioned, they were going to think about going to the club, son. But it was really when Bloodsport James Johnson fly-kicked Kyrie off the edge of the planet if it were flat. Vicious, vicious dunking on by James Johnson. He's like a fucking MMA fighter. That's why we call him Bloodsport here. He fucking hammered Kyrie. Kyrie's like, oh, I've made a horrible decision halfway through, like trying to contest. And he just basically bounced all the way back. So James Bloodsport Johnson, that was the panting of the evening on Kyrie Irving. All right. And finally, better than Lonzo Ball / Trae Young for today. Who you got?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody. Isn't that right, LeVar? That's right. Better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. Look, they didn't have too bad a couple of games, did the old
dynamic duo. Lonzo in the win over Detroit, 2 of 6 from the field. Ooh, not great. 1 of 4 from three. Goal. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists though. Not bad. 2 steals and a block. While Trae Young against Brooklyn as the Hawks got beat down, it was 6 of 15 from the field for him. 2 of 9 from three, 17 and 7. But they were both outshone by Luka Doncic. 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 3 steals, 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, absolutely fucking crushed it. Shot better from 3 than the 2 combined. That was unreal. On your Luka, absolutely crushing it. And also, look, honorable mentions go to Wendell! Wendell Carter Jr., 22 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist as the Bulls got beat. But he was really good against the Blazers. Honorable mention goes to Frank Jackson as well, over there on the Pelicans, not a Pelicans. 19 points, 4 of 4 from 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 4 of 4 from 3. Yep, that's better than both Alonzo and Trey combined. On you, Frank. Nice one. All right, and finally, what do you reckon about Dickhead of the Week?
Dickhead of the Week!
I mean, this is just the Reggie Miller Award at this point, isn't it? So, watching the TNT broadcast of the Spurs Thunder, an amazing game. Unfortunately, it was also called by Reggie Miller. Kevin Harlan is amazing. Reggie Miller, an absolute fucking giant dickhole. Old mate sitting there with the wee little squid with me. And she's just like, Jesus, he just keeps repeating shit over and over again. I'm like, yes, this is the Reggie Miller experience. She's like, it's fucking horrible. I'm like, yes, I know. It's Reggie Miller. He's the fucking worst. Thing is, he just kept fucking repeating himself over and over and over again. And my favorite dick move of Reggie Miller is to come up with a half funny, mediocre, shitty, observation-y, joke-ish kind of thing, and then just repeat it 2 or 3 times while no one laughs. Fucking hell, Reggie, just pull your head in, dickhead. So there you go, that's Dickhead of the Week. It's the Reggie Miller Award at this point. It's his to lose, basically, each week. It was nice having him not around. He took a couple of weeks off. It's like, oh, how good is this? We don't have to put up with Reggie. And he's back with a vengeance. Welcome back to 2019, Reggie Miller. You are our Dickhead of the Week. All right, in a second, we'll be back. We've got no yeah, nahs, or anything else today. We do have our mid-year NBA Australia Awards, though, with PDX Pete. It's going to be awesome, and it's coming up right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, as promised, we're back here. It's his first appearance of 2019. He's still fucking rolling about Portland, Oregon from Christmas. It's PDX Pete. Pete, how are you, mate?
Mate, happy new year. How you going?
Not bad. Just sleep deprived, you know, jumping at shadows, hearing babies crying in my head when they're actually not, you know, the usual. It's also the first time I've worn pants in 3 days today. So consider yourself lucky, I guess.
Yeah. I'm chuffed.
Nice one. So we've got you on here to do our mid-year NBA Australia Awards. It's a happy, dumb sort of look at, you know, oh, bro, what would happen if the season ended now? Dumb shit, which never happens, and I always hate that, especially in America with the old talking head programs. Like, if the season ended today, they would be a playoff team. It's like, but does the season end today?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So last time I checked, team? It goes for 82.
Exactly. So we are going to just do it and go, all right, who's basically had the best season to date and all that sort of shit. So we're going to do our MVP, our Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and then a couple of NBA Australia specific awards. The biggest wanker so far of this season, the coach we most want shit canned. I like that one. I've only got two of that because they've kind of shit-canned everybody else. And then finally, dude, you want traded real bad, which is pretty good. So a couple of dudes in shitty situations that we want traded. So let's just get stuck in right off the top, Pete. Well, I mean, have you got Dame Lillard for MVP, I assume, right? So he's your boy.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, I do. But close second, I would say, is Giannis for me.
Yeah, nice.
I think he's just kind of running away with it this year. He's just so much more confident this year with his play, and he's just carrying that team, and they're doing real well. So, it's got to be Giannis.
Yeah, mine's Giannis as well. And, everybody's kind of like, James Harden has thrust himself into the MVP race. It's like, yes, he has, but he's not the MVP yet, motherfuckers, because he's only been doing this for the last, 13 games.
Yeah.
Until then, he was still fucking sitting on the fucking sideline, being weighed down by a bunch of stripper glitter in his beard. And now he's like actually balling out. That's cool. But it only gets him to second for me. So,
yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the Talking Heads shows, it's like they forget the first like 2 weeks of the season where they just fucking sucked hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were missing because of fights and whatever. But he just wasn't playing well at the start of the season. And, yeah, now he's coming back. He's scoring 40 a game. He's doing well. He's certainly, you know, getting into the conversation. But I just think Giannis has just had a better all-round year so far. And obviously Dame, it just goes without saying. So,
well, look, so you make a really good point about, like, context matters. And when it comes to this sort of shit, the big talking head shows or whatever, it's literally the shiniest new thing that someone's dangling in front of them. Like, one of the big points about the Houston resurgence has been, like, they were 14th in the West and now they're 4th. It's like, yeah, there's a fucking reason they were 14th because he was playing like shit. So he can't suddenly be MVP because he's just had, like, an amazing stretch of fucking games. Meanwhile, Giannis has got fucking the Bucks basically fucking kicking ass, taking names. They're on top of the East. Like, there's not much more that motherfucking can do. And people like actually saying, James Harden's got it, bro. They're basically selling Giannis short. I mean, the dude's averaging 26.6 points a game. He's doing shit that Kareem was doing. Like six assists a game, 12.8 rebounds. He's a fucking small forward. And he's averaging 12.8 rebounds. It's fucking wild. So, yeah, look, Giannis is it. He's shooting 58% from the field. His three-point shooting, yeah, we get it. I mean, I'm the biggest Ben Simmons stan you'll find. So
exactly.
You don't need to really convince me that I can toss aside three-point shooting. But, yeah, I've got Giannis number one. I've got Kawhi at number two as well, actually, just because I think, Toronto was second in the East, and he's been crushing it pretty consistently. Like, people would like, oh, but he's not playing like back-to-backs, bro. It's like, well, he kind of has been, and now he's just cruising along and crushing motherfuckers. So, I think he's fine. So he's number two for me, and I've got Harden three.
Yeah, much like Harden, I think he kind of started out slow, and he didn't really get the games that he needed. But Kawhi's, certainly turned it around the last couple of weeks. He's been amazing. He's pretty much unstoppable. No one can stay in front of him. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting, in 3 months' time. But who knows? Maybe LeBron will get like a 50-point game on the last day of the season and we'll just give it to him.
Well, I certainly hope so, because I think I laid 100-piece down on LeBron winning MVP at the start of the year and it was like at 11-1. Let's get LeBron back in this conversation fucking quick smart.
Yep. Now you got a squid. You need that money.
Papa needs a new pair of shoes. but fucking hell. Speaking of Kawhi, like, because obviously we have the new squid, so old mate sitting there watching a shit ton of basketball with me with the squid, feeding away and just making sure he's all good. So she watched a shit ton of basketball all of a sudden, whereas usually she's, off gallivanting around, working and doing all that sort of shit. And she's like, wow, has Kawhi always been this good? I'm like, well, yeah, he was just a fucking dickhead last year and just didn't want to play.
Yeah.
She's like, why? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, he and Pop had a big falling out and all this sort of shit. And she's like, but he's still really good, right? I'm like, yeah. Everybody just kind of forgot. So, Kawhi number two. And Harden tearing it up. He's number three for me. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice one. Do you reckon Giannis can keep it up?
Yeah, I think so. I think, with Big Schlong Thon, coming on, he's gotten some help now. And Brook Lopez throwing up half-court shots all game.
Love it.
It is amazing. That sidebar, that is incredible what he's doing. Yeah, revamping his career by just taking step backs like Harden. He's shooting like six a game.
It's so weird.
It's crazy.
Good on him. Good on him.
Imagine when Robin Lopez does it.
Fucking Sideshow Bob over there.
Can you imagine?
Imagine that. It'd be great. Imagine them back home for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, having 3-point comps out in the driveway. It'd be wild. All right, rookie of the year. Fuck it, let's go. This one's pretty easy for me, I reckon. Luka, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we can just jump over this one. It's a done deal.
19.8 points, 6.7 rebounds, 4.9 assists, and two of the most giant pair of the biggest nuts you'll ever fucking see. I think I mentioned it was like last Friday's show. It's like, but how could we have seen this coming? He wasn't dominating West Virginia and a bunch of 19-year-old white kids. He was only beating like professional basketball players in the second best league on earth. Fuck, man. He's amazing and I love every second of it. I watched a run of his highlights yesterday And it is just legit. Like, he's just a fucking basketball savant. Like, there's just these one-legged step-back floaters and shit. Just the step-back jumpers. God damn.
It's crazy. He literally does everything. And any team that passed over him is now looking like such fucking noobs, you know, like such knobheads. Why would you pass that?
What the fuck are you doing, Sacramento? It's like, oh, we need another big guy. Since fucking when? You've got Big Willie Cauley Stein style over there. You also had Costa Koufos on the fucking thing. And they're like, oh, nah, we need a guy who can't shoot from the outside and is like, oh, pretty good for a big dude. How about you get a fucking potential superstar, you morons? Sacramento, what the fuck? But number two, I've got DeAndre Ayton, the guy who went number one. He's been, like, good. His defense is fucking horrible. But 16.5 points, 10.6 rebounds, 2.2 assists. And he's had a couple of really big games, like, assist-wise, which is pretty cool. And I think you know, as long as Phoenix get a little bit better and they're not leaning on him too much, I think that'll be better for his sort of long-term outlook. You know, as soon as Devin Booker is back and doing shit, I think he'll get a little bit more efficient and all that sort of stuff too.
Honestly, if he just, in the off-season, if he just goes and does, like, you know, one of those defensive camps with, like, Hakeem or, you know, one of those old legends and just learns how to play defense properly in the NBA, he's going to be incredible in the future. But at the moment, kind of like friggin' everyone that got picked in this draft, everyone just went for pure, you know, offensive talent and we'll work it out the rest from here. And, you know, I think he just needs to just learn how to move his feet, how to, you know, stay up straight. He's just getting killed on the defensive end. But I definitely have him number two.
He needs to go, like, move in with, like, David Robinson over the summer or something.
Yeah.
Just, like, hang out with the Admiral. But anyway, good job, DeAndre Ayton. You're a bit shit. You're not that good, but you're all right. And when you say, like, offensive talent, I'm going to throw someone out there at you who's my number three. It's Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. He's easily the best of all the rookies defensive rating-wise. He's fucking smashing it.
Yeah.
And also chucking in 13.4 points, 4.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists, and is better than Marc Gasol.
Yeah, I am so done with Marc Gasol. I know it's your thing, so I feel like I'm piggybacking, but I'm so sick of Memphis and Marc Gasol just, like, running that team, you know.
Fucking coach killer. And, like, some of my favorite shit has popped off lately is people going, oh, they brought in Joakim Noah to help Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., learn how to, like, really harness his motor and get the most out of his talent. I'm like, yeah, because fucking they're now still bitching and moaning about Marc Gasol not showing up for games. I'm like, that's what he's always done. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And you don't want that rubbing off on Triple J. Other sort of honorable mentions, Shai Redder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's fucking awesome. I've loved watching him. And Shamwell.
I'm a big fan of his too.
Shamwell. Yeah. I think I mentioned in, was it Wednesday's podcast? I mean, he hit 8 threes in that game for the Sixers. Just imagine how, like, fucking brutal the Sixers' outlook would be if they didn't have, you know, the 26th pick in the fucking draft coming off the bench and shooting 40% from three. They'd be fucked. So Landry Shamwell, there you go, mate. You're at, like, 4 or 5 in the rookie rankings for me right now.
Another guy I like is Wendell Carter Jr.
Wendell!
He's killer. You know, he's killer good.
Yeah. Not in my top five, though, is Trae Young.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
Actually shit. So there you go.
Yeah.
Moving on to coach of the year. For me, I've got a new coach in a new situation. You have a coach who was almost going to be fired last year and is now, we're just talking about him, leading the West.
I've got Mike Malone from Denver, yeah.
Hang on. I've got Buds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Milwaukee stay at the pace that they're at, I think he is the favorite to get it for sure. But I just think Mike Malone, the fact that, you know, they wanted to cut him loose, get someone new and try and get the most out of who they have. And they gave him a chance and look at him now, you know. Not saying that they're going to be the first seed at the end of the year. I don't think they are, but you know, I think it's amazing what he's got out of Jokic and the two young guards. And yeah, I think he deserves all the plaudits he can get right now.
Yeah, I've always loved Mike Malone. The fact that Sacramento shit canned him is still one of the most egregious fuck ups I think of the last like 10 years in the NBA. He's awesome. He seems like a giant hard ass, and I'm kind of on board with that. But he also seems like a kind of nice guy, as opposed to someone like Tibbs, where you're like, oh, he's a hard ass, but he also seems like a fuckwit. So Mike Malone, I love him. Buds, I think just the job he's done in like unleashing Giannis is probably the best. Yeah. Like Malone's amazing, and I've got him at number two. Yeah, I've got Nate McMillan three. Because he's just crushing with Indy once more. One good player basically, and like they're piecing together the rest of it. But Buds, the way he just went, he sort of came into Milwaukee and went, all right, so Jason Kidd has fucked you guys up for the last couple of years. What we're gonna do is real fucking simple. We're gonna take this generational talent, put a whole bunch of three-point shooters around him, and we're gonna win a shit ton of games. Like, it's not fucking rocket surgery over here, you dickheads. So good job, Buds. And I think the way he's like really empowered, like all the guards and stuff, has been really pretty commendable too. Like El Presidente Brogdon, they traded Dally, which is going to come back and bite them in the ass because now they're stuck with George Spud Hill. But like Bledsoe's been balling out. Fucking Brogdon's been awesome. All their sort of young dudes are really sort of responding to him as well. So I think it's pretty good. I think he's my coach of the year, easy.
I think you're right. Good shout on Nate McMillan as well. I was never really much of a fan of him when he was here in Portland because he never played his young players, but he seems to have kind of, you know, changed his course a bit because you see guys like Sabonis getting out there and really throwing up big numbers. Like, obviously he's got a lot more playing time kind of at his disposal now, but yeah, he is he's doing a great job in Indy, and yeah, he deserves a shout as well. So
there you go. I got Buds, Mike Malone, Nate McMillan. This is good. Sixth man of the year. Now, this is a wide open field, I reckon, this year. This is fucking great. So who have you got, Pete?
I've got Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl! Love me some Montrezl. He's third on mine at the moment. I've got him with a slash with Lou Will. At number one, I've got Julius Randle. Problem being for him, he's actually started a bunch of games of late. So
he might
end up being disqualified.
Yeah, I was thinking about him too. And then I went and looked up some stats on Harrell. He hasn't started a game this year, which is crazy.
He's legitimately amazing. The fact that they're still rolling out the fucking corpse of Marcin Gortat instead of starting Boban and just like using Trez instead is like horrible. So. But Julius Randle's actually started, I think, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 of their last 17 games, basically when Mirotić has sort of been in and out. They've just started Randle. So he's actually started about half the games.
I think he might might not make it.
Yeah, that's a damn shame. So I had Julius first, I've got D-Rose second, then I've got Trez, then I've got Demartis, the Souvlaki King, in fourth, and Spencer Dinwiddie. In fifth because he's been fucking unreal. Like Spencer in Brooklyn is like similar to Lou Will in Clipperland where they're just like, we'll just bring you off the bench, but you're basically playing starters minutes a lot of the time.
Exactly.
And you're a lead ball handler when you are. And same goes to D-Rose. So I think it'd be nice to see a bigger dude win it, right? So like Trez or Demartis or Julius.
Yeah, for sure.
Defensive player of the year, I believe we have the same person for this one. Who is it? PDXP?
Paul George.
Yeah, Paul George.
Paul George of the OKC Seattle Thunder.
Yep, the Zombie Sonics. Kills me. He's been real fucking good. I mean, I give him endless amounts of shit about being horrible at, you know, offensively late game situations. And again, that came back to bite them in the ass like twice in the last like week and a half. Defensively, the fact that you lost Roberson and are absolutely fucking crushing it still is so much more to do with him than just about anybody else. Like he and Steven Adams and to a sort of lesser extent Jeremy Grant are fucking like one of the three best sort of trio tandems in the fucking league defensively. It's awesome. So good on you, Paul George.
Yeah.
That's unreal. I've also got Rudy the Stafford Tower, Gobert, and Joel Embiid on my ballot at the moment.
Yeah, Embiid, actually, that's a good one as well. I think people are really sleeping on him on the defensive end, just because he's so flashy at the other end. But yeah, he is he really does kind of take up that paint and control it down there. So yeah, he's been amazing this year.
They are playing really good defense just as a team, and Embiid's like the sort of, you know, linchpin of it a lot. So
yeah,
that's why I got him top three. Not in my top five, Draymond Green. Just because fuck that guy.
It's crazy how much he's regressed this season. Oh, hey? Yeah. Like, I don't like him. He's an absolute prick. But
yeah, he might pop up in just a second.
Yeah, yeah. Foreshadowing.
That's what we call a tease in the business.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird how that's happened. Right? And like, but Golden State, they're just a fucking juggernaut, so they keep rolling no matter how bad he's playing, right?
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. If Durant says, I want to stay, they will ship out Draymond's ass as quick as possible, you know?
Yeah, fully. Let's do it then. Let's go to the NBA Australia biggest wanker of the year so far. There's been a couple of contenders for this, and a lot of this actually comes down, I think, you know, I just mentioned our old mate sitting on the couch with me watching a shit ton of basketball. And if she brings up like someone going, oh, he's such a dickhead, it's like, that's a fucking, you just made the list. Like, if you can piss her off just from like limited interactions of like watching her, why is he just whinging and moaning all the time? Yeah, you just made the biggest wanker of the year list. So who you got there?
Okay, I got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, me too.
So I've got multiple versions of Jimmy Butler too, because I've got Minnesota Jimmy Butler, and then now I've got Philadelphia Jimmy Butler. Both of them equal parts. Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable, like watching him sort of like roll into a spot and go, all right, fuck you, Minnesota, trade me, or I'm going to kick all your asses and look at this. And then he does it. Then they play him and he's like, oh, I'm not really happy to be here. This sucks. Fuck all you guys. And they eventually trade him and he's like, hooray, I've been traded. And then like, what is it, 4 weeks into being with Philly? And then he turns around and he's like, use fuckheads aren't using me right. What the fuck? And you're just like going, Jimmy, just now, if, what's the old saying? If like everybody's a, like, if everybody's a fuckhead, then you're probably the fuckhead. Like if you're like consistently saying, oh, everybody sucks, then it's probably you who sucks. So Jimmy Butts.
Yeah.
Wanker.
Yep. I'm going to say he far and away wins the award, but I like you said, I think there is some other people this year that deserve a mention, and Draymond Green being one of them.
The Jimmy Butt stuff as well, like, but Philly, we mentioned sort of, you know, Ben Simmons and Embiid and how well they've been playing, and they have been. They've been playing really fucking well since he arrived. So the fact that he then like arced up and whinged about shit is just a real kick in the dick. It's like, dude, you guys are smashing it. This is literally all you've ever said that you wanted to be a part of, right? He just like, his entire thing is like, hey man, if you don't like me, all I do is want to win. Well, guess what you're fucking doing, Jimmy? You're winning, so shut the fuck up. It's not rocket surgery again, mate. It's a very, very easy equation. Yeah. It's like, all I want to do is win. Are you winning? Yes, then shut the fuck up.
He got what he wanted. He went to a contender, and then because he's not getting all of the friggin' credit for winning, he's suddenly he's upset again. Just shut the fuck up and play for a while, you know?
Yeah. Number two in my biggest wanker so far, I've just got Chris Paul just because he's like in, you know, a legacy. He's always going to be on my biggest wanker list. same with Austin Rivers, just another legacy. But Draymond is the one that I had penciled in straight after Jimmy Butts just because his antics on the court really, really have started to fuck me off this year. And this is the one where old mate will be sitting on the couch just going, why is Draymond going completely fucking bananas and why are the refs not giving him a tech? I'm like, this is a very good point.
This is a question that's been asked for about the last 3 years.
It is unbelievable the shit that he now gets away with where he's like spazzing out hardcore and the refs are just like, oh, it's Draymond being Draymond, I guess. And you're like, no, like if it's any other fucking player, you'd be teeing them up in a heartbeat. Just because it's fucking Draymond and because he does it all the fucking time and he's being crazy demonstrative, he's yelling at refs, he's yelling at other players, he's being a fucking complete fuckwit.
Yeah.
Tee the prick up. Like, it's not fucking hard, man. Just do it. Yeah, so it's reached a point where I'm just like, fucking, I can barely watch the guy play now. The second NBA Australia specific award so far halfway through the season. It is the coach you want shit canned. PDX Pete, who do you want shit canned?
Scott Brooks.
Scotty Brooks. See you, mate. Yeah, he's my number two because my number one is Jim Boylan. The replacement.
Poor fella.
The replacement. Get rid of him. He's a fuckhead. I'm done with him. Chicago have somehow replaced Fred Hoiberg with an interim coach who preaches nothing but hard-nosed defense and slowing it down. And they are now playing at the league's worst pace and have the league's worst defense. So, Jim, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, mate, but it's not working.
Let's be honest. Tibbs is going to go be his assistant. Book it.
Love it. Boylan just shits me off. But, yeah, Scotty Brooks is just pretty clearly just – the Wiz are a rabble. I mean, yeah, they beat the Sixers yesterday, but still, they're a fucking rabble. We all know it. The thing is for Washington, like, they've got to sit there and look and go, oh, fuck. I mean, I had him written down as well, right? So he's my number two. But when I was thinking about it, I'm like, who's better for Washington? Like, what are the options?
True.
Like,
I mean, yeah, the coach is always going to cop it. The problem is they just need to scrap everything, chuck it all in the trash and start again, you know? Like, their GM is a fucking moron. Their contract situation is worse than Portland's, which is a surprise. They need to just start again and figure it out. And Scott Brooks, he is a good coach, and he could probably get something out of them. And I would argue maybe is a little bit, but definitely not to the level of the people that are on that team. I mean, they brought in Trevor Ariza to get him over the top. I mean, how is that not working?
Yeah. So this is the thing that gets me about Scott Brooks. Everyone's like, oh, but you got to give him like heaps of credit for like really developing those guys in OKC. You mean the three guys who have been MVP the last three?
the three guys that probably
would have been fucking amazing otherwise. Yeah. Meanwhile, how well did he develop Kelly Oubre Jr. and Otto Porter? Like, Kelly Oubre Jr. is now in fucking Phoenix because you wanted Trevor Ariza instead. Oh, my God, Washington. But, yeah, they need to burn it down. Like, I think I mentioned this, like, was it Monday's podcast where it's like, all right, this is your one chance. John Wall's gone. He's done for this season. You need Bradley Beal to have a mysterious, like, lower leg injury or something so he misses the next 2 months. Tank as hard as you fucking can and get one of like, the top five picks and sort of just recharge it and see how you go. Because if you get like, one of the top five, you know, dudes in this fucking draft, it might give you the shot you need because there's nothing else you can do because you've got all these fucking onerous goddamn contracts, especially that goddamn John Wall contract that doesn't even kick until next year. And meanwhile, they're only really like four games back out of like the tank race with like Atlanta and Chicago and stuff. They're
exactly.
Anyway, speaking of which, let's get into our final award for this half year award for NBA Australia. It's the dude you want traded real bad. PDX Pete, who do you want traded real bad?
Well, going back to the Wizards, I want Bradley Beal to go to a team that'll actually appreciate him.
It's not like he's really enjoying his time in Washington, is it?
Yeah, and like you said on Wednesday's pod, like John Wall is an absolute fucking tosspot. So get Beal out of there and get him to a team that actually will use him well and not just use him when Wall's out, you know, and get him into a situation that's good for him because he is an insanely good player, but he is just wallowing away in Washington and it sucks for him.
Yeah, so there was, I remember like, you know, it popped off on the odd occasion. It was like, oh, imagine CJ McCollum for Brad Beal. I'm like, if I'm Washington, there's no fucking way I'm doing that. Because Beal is just that good. Like, he's even more valuable than like a CJ McCollum who can fill it up, obviously, but defensively, he's nowhere near like in the realm that Beal can be just because Beal's that much bigger than him. And it'd be amazing to see Beal like next to Giannis or next to Anthony Davis or something. Like, if somehow the Pelicans could finagle Davis, Jrue Holiday, and Brad Beal. Now we're fucking talking. Like, we're not talking Otto Porter. We're talking fucking Brad Beal. Now you got a fucking team who can go head-to-head with motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Unfortunately, the Pelicans have got fuck all to trade. So they're kind of up shit creek. Yeah. But yeah, Beal on like a much better team would be really, really fun. Do you have like an ideal landing spot for him or anything?
Yeah, I think, like you said, the Pelicans would be a great one. I'd love to get him on the Blazers. But yeah, the Wizards would not take CJ back unless he, you know, somehow learns how to defend, which he hasn't shown in Portland. Then, yeah, we're not getting him anytime soon. The dream of having him at the Lakers would be, that would actually be a pretty interesting, that'd be, you know, that'd put him on a little bit more of a correct track, but build around him and LeBron. That would be fun to watch. But yeah, I don't know.
My actual dude you want traded real bad is Kevin Love. We've seen this floated out over and over and over again for like CJ McCollum for Kevin Love. Get him up to Portland and, you know, go hang out and drink his IPAs with you and, you know, smash a bunch of voodoo donuts and some very nice coffee. But I don't know. It's just, what do Cleveland want to do? Do you reckon they want to keep Kevin Love? Are they just convinced that, yeah, I mean, once we get this draft pick, we might be really good next year. Maybe we should keep Kevin Love.
Does my comeback question to you would be, does his value get any better than it is right now? You know? Like he's declining. His value is declining.
He,
from here on out for the rest of his career.
His injury was like just the biggest fucking like downer to start this year because he can't get traded until January 15 anyway. But
right.
The idea of him, like if he had a balled out for like the first like 2 months of the season, just imagine like what Cleveland would have been able to get for him, right? Like they'd have one of the biggest trade chips on the market. Easily.
Exactly.
But considering he's been injured and he probably won't be back until after All-Star break, they're really up shit creek. And yeah, his contract is massive, but I think people would still happily pay for his production at least for the next 2 years. I mean, it's like one of those ones where you go, fuck, all right, do we eat the money for like years 3 and 4 if he sort of declines, you know, pretty rapidly? But you feel like, you know, he can shoot. His rebounding has dropped off a shit ton, as you said, but at the same time, I still think he's got a lot of value as like a second, third dude on a pretty good team or a team that's trying to get up to that sort of next level. Like, you know, maybe someone like the Pelicans, if he takes that Miritich spot, it could be pretty interesting. on Phoenix, I mean, if they somehow manage to keep McCollum and Dame and Zach Collins, he'd be really good sort of along there. They'd still be able to defend nobody, but still.
Yeah, him and Nurk playing next to each other would actually be interesting to see because Nurk is one of those big guys that, you know, takes up a lane and doesn't really step out much anymore. You know, I'd much rather a guy like Miritich than Love. But, yeah, I think Neil Olshay's dumb enough he will probably do it. So
nice. All right, you know what? That's fucking it. Done. Mid-year awards, Dunskies, PDX Pete. What are you looking forward to in the next couple of weeks heading into All-Star break for your Portland Trail Blazers?
I think if we can just keep it rolling how we are right now, staying at a pretty steady pace. We're sitting in fifth right now. You know, I think we just got to keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, Lillard is playing really well. I think he should be, you know, first, like an All-Star should go straight in. CJ, I think, no, but apart from that, I think we just keep going and we should be fine. We should be in the playoffs.
Dig it. Nice one. All right, man. Well, we'll have you back on soon. And in the meantime, keep on keeping on and best of luck to the Trailblazers.
Yeah, thanks
for coming
too.
On and doing the mid-year NBA Australia Awards.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, Brew, and you're listening to NBA Australia. Cheer, Brew.
All right, we are back. Thanks heaps to PDXP for all the MVP and all the nerd talk and all the fun stuff. Love that coach who wants shit can stuff, Jim Boylan. Love it. All right, anyway, Australian Player Watch, Big Simo, Ben Simmons heading into the weekend and the loss to Washington yesterday. He had 15 points, 8 assists, 10 rebounds, 2 steals. Backing up a pretty good game the day before, but I don't know, he should be all right. Jonah Bolden had 11 minutes in that Washington game as well for the Sixers. 0 points in that one, 1 rebound and 2 steals. Back to the bench for Jonah in this game too with Wilson Chandler back. Jingling Joe Ingles, rough game in the last couple for Jingler. I mean, it's just a bit of a rough one for the old Jingler at the moment in general, you know. Dante Exum's obviously missing all his games, but against Orlando, the Jingler, look, he came back. Donovan fucking Mitchell was awesome. Jingles bounces back in a big way. 16 points, 7 assists, 4 of 8 from 3.
That's a bit more like it, bro.
2 rebounds, a block and a steal. Unreal. On your Jingles.
It's about bloody time.
Crushing it. King Deli of Maribara, first of his name, smasher of tins, as mentioned, absolutely fucking tore apart the Pelicans. A season high. In 20 minutes, he had 17 points, including 3 of 5 from 3 to go, 7 assists and 4 rebounds. In only 20 minutes, he had 17, 7, and 4. Holy shit. You know what we like to do here in NBA Australia? Ooh, extrapolate it out to those nerd stats of
per 36, bro.
Yeah, so Dally would have had 30 points, 12.5 assists, and 7 rebounds. Pretty good numbers. On your King Dally. Just happy to have him back and playing healthy. Kung Fu Thon against the Rockets. Didn't get out there for much. 3 minutes, 0 points, 1 rebound, 0 of 1 from the field. Patty Thrills Mills against the Grizz. He was the best performing Spur out there. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 of 7 from 3 for Patty. Pretty bloody good. And then today against the Thunder, Patty put on a clinic. 5 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 14 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. He was unreal. Hit a couple of massive bombs early. It's pretty good. Aaron Bangers Baines is out, still injured. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff got another DMP coach's decision, this time against the Suns. Nice one. All right. And what do we do on, we'd usually do this on a Thursday, but because we're only doing 3 shows a week at the moment while the squid gets settled, we'll quickly go to Kiwi Corner and see how Stephen Adams Brew is going in 3 straight losses for the old, the Thunder. They lose to Washington. He puts up 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, the Kiwi Colossus. And then against the Wolves, 20 points, 12 rebounds and 2 steals. And then today against the Spurs, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals and 2 blocks. Also came down pretty hard on his ankle. Everyone's like, oh, he's out for the season. And then he sort of went off. He went, well, mate, just tape it up, eh, bro? She'll be right, eh? And came back out, no problems, because I'm pretty sure Stephen Adams can't be hurt by conventional means. So he and Bangers, two toughest blokes in the NBA. So Stephen Adams for the season, averaging 15.4 points, 10.2 rebounds, 1.7 assists, and 0.8 blocks. Kiwi Corner, absolutely marvellous. The Luke Longley All-Star for this week. We always do this on a Friday. The role player just did his bloody job. This one was, I was watching that Miami game, and on the bench, still there, Udonis Haslem. Yes, he is definitely the Luke Longley All-Star for this week. Just, I think we've brought him up before, but just bears repeating. 8-8, 6-7, 4-5 is LeBron and D-Wade's sidekick. At his peak, though, he was 12-9. Book it. Got the absolute most out of his talent. Maybe more than probably anybody in the last 20 years. Absolutely smashed it. And the fact that they still have him around as well is testament to how much they love the guy. Udonis Haslem, absolute personification of the role player. It's like, Udonis, just go out there, play some hard-nosed defense, get some rebounds, score some junk buckets, give you fucking all. And he's like, you know what? I'm inspired by Luke Longley, the man who came before me. I'll do that exact same thing. I'm going to play my guts out. That's what he did. And that's why he's a Luke Longley All-Star Hall of Famer of role players who just did their bloody job and won a couple of rings. Nice one, Udonis. All right, we'll be back in a second with, what do we got? The Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews for the entire weekend. And we'll finish up with a bit of Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. Pretty good. And that'll all happen right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we are back. It is time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And no Patty Mills tweet today, but we do have one from Thon McCur, Kung Fu Thon himself. Thon. Tweeted out, I had so much fun doing these reading sessions. The game activities at a young age like this are just as important. Can't wait till the next one. Smiley happy emoji. And that's because he retweeted out Next Door Milwaukee. Yeah, there we go. Milwaukee. I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. They tweeted out a throwback to last Wednesday when Thon McCur with the Bucks visited Next Door to read with the children. Following the story time, he joined the students for activities in the gym, including some hoops. What a legend. On you, Thon. And then he went out and kicked some ass as well. Big schlong Thon, Thon song. Amazing stuff. All right, let's get stuck into the weekend game preview, shall we? Got a bunch of absolute pearls in here too. Let's do it. Game previews. Game previews. Nice one. For Saturday, let's do some picks as well. Hawks at Sixers. Sixers will smash them. Hawks are a rabble. Bucks at Wizards. Bucks should bounce. You know, they've gone from Houston. They're going to go to Washington. Wizards have just beaten the Sixers. I think the Bucks will take care of them, though. Pacers at Knicks. We've got the Spike and Reggie Bowl. That'll be nice. Pacers, they need a nice palate cleanser. And the Knicks are a good one for that. The Knicks, though, one of the worst defenses in the league, but they can score. So be interested to see how the Pacers go, but the Pacers will smash them. Nets at Raptors. The Nets are plucky, but they will get plucked by the Raptors in Toronto. What's that? A harkening back to the 2013-14 playoffs, where the Nets beat them in the first round on a Paul Pierce block of Kyle Lowry. Watched a shit ton of that series because I was going to all of the games. Cavs at Rockets. Dele! Going to go out there and smash James Harden, but the Rockets will smash the 11-game losing streak Cavs. Unbelievable. Mavs at Wolves. That's an absolute rip snorter of a game. The Wolves flying high since shit-canning Tibbs. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, it's really nice in here now. Everyone was walking around on eggshells because it was like a hostage situation when he was in charge. So can they keep up the dead coach bounce going? I don't know. Mavs are on a bit of a roll, but the Wolves at home, I reckon they win this one. Let's see how they go. Lakers at Jazz. The Jazz are without Dante Exum, Ricky Rubio, and Raul Neto, as well as Grayson Allen, Tony Bradley, and Thabo Sefolosha. So I reckon the Lakers have got a bit of a chance there. Jingles, probably starting point guard next to Donovan Mitchell. But give me the Lakers. Hornets at Blazers. Blazers should smoke the Hornets. Hornets are just weird at the moment. Bulls at Warriors. Warriors, they could probably rest everybody and play their G League team and win that one. Sunday, we have the Pistons at the Clippers. Oh, it's Blake is back. Do you reckon they're going to retire his number anyway? Clippers will smoke him. Blake could play out of his mind, but the Pistons would still fucking lose. Grizzlies at Heat. It's the Shane Battier Bowl. Give me the Heat in that one. Grizzlies. Just, I don't know. They somehow beat the Spurs, but the Heat, I don't know. I reckon they can out-grit and grind them. Celtics at Magic. It's the 2009 Eastern Conference Finals rematch. Give me the Celtics. Magic are a rabble. Pelicans at Wolves. Also tasty. I just really wish the Wolves went on a back-to-back because we'd have Anthony Davis versus Karl Anthony Towns, which would be tasty as hell. On a back-to-back, though, it's a bit tough, even though it's at home. Give me the Pelicans. Spurs at Thunder. We get a rematch. How good is this? We just had an absolute rip snorter of a game and we get to do it again in OKC this time. This is going to be great. Can't wait to watch that. Give me the Thunder on a bounce back win. Nuggets at Suns. Nuggets should absolutely steamroll the Suns. Bulls at Jazz. Oh, it's a 97-98 NBA Finals rematch. Jesus. Jazz will, even without anybody playing for them, I think the Jazz could beat them. And Hornets at Sacramento. Sacramento should get the Hornets on a... should beat the Hornets at least on a back-to-back. And there you go. And then finally, Monday, the games that we'll be talking about a little bit more in depth because they'll be happening that day when we're back next week. Sixers at Knicks. Nice one. Big Simo in the Mecca. Going to smash him. Sixers win that. Raps at Wiz. Raps will smoke him. Bucks at Hawks. Bucks will kick our ass. It's Budenholzer's return to his old stomping ground too. That should be nice. Rockets at Magic. It's a 1995 finals rematch. That's nice. Rockets will roll them. Warriors at Mavs, that's going to be great. Luka versus KD and co. Give me the Warriors in that. Mavs a bit of being a bit of a struggle town. Blazers at Nugs, that's going to be very interesting. It's the old Nurkic and Plumlee trade. That'd be great. Nugs, I think we'll win that. And finally, Cavs at Lakers. It's the LeBron James Bowl, but LeBron won't be in it, and the Lakers should beat the Cavs. Unreal. There you go. A pick and preview for every game of the weekend. Some absolute rip snorters in there. And we'll be back on Monday because that's it for today. And we'll wrap all those games and talk a whole bunch of other shit. And we'll keep up with the Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule for next week as well. Just a heads up. But huge thanks to PDXP for coming on today to talk MVPs and all the mid-season awards, which was great fun. That was awesome. Cheers. We're back Monday with a whole bunch of other fun stuff. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on Twitter, Facey, Instagram. We're all over socials during all the games. Chuck us a rating review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Chuck us a follow, would you? And anyway, but make sure you just rate and review us if you can. It helps out Falkrod Hoops. Also, big thanks to From Oslo. They're the intro and outro music to NBA Australia. But go support their new band House Hats and go vote for I've Been Broken, their new single, on in the Triple J Hottest 100, would you? It's awesome. Also, big thanks to Fascinator. They've got a new video out. Go check that out. Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that is it for this week. Thanks for bearing with us with the, you know, the newborn in the fucking house. It's pretty wild. So just trying to keep this up and keep a little bit of consistency, and then we'll finally get back to daily shows, hopefully in the near future. But that's it, man. Thanks for a great week. We'll talk to you on Monday. Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And we'll see you on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying... Lederhosen! All right, then, welcome to this week's show. This is Andrew Bogut, and I am here with Andrew Bogut, slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And look, because of all these latte-drinking left-wing SJW snowflakes everywhere, and they're all on Twitter trying to, like, basically brainwash everybody into being PC, like, softies and shit, I'm out here telling it like it is, mate. That's just what I do, mate. I, like, talk about, like, betting commercials, articles written in the paper about me, Sydney traffic, going through the hardware store and shit, mate. And if you don't like my opinions, you can just go get stuff, mate. I mean, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to follow me on Twitter. Just, I'm a free thinker, mate. It's just what I do. All right, so let's get through to the Twitter machine and slam some Twitter snowflake. All right, what do we have here this week? All right. Oh, so this guy, Andrew B. Bryce, he says, analytics is much more than just points scored. Good analytics is much more than just box scores. Analytics has its place, 100% agree. Question, how do analytics measure bad screens? Missed box outs, not sticking to team defense. Sticking to team offense, not knowing scouting reports. Not cutting hard when the play isn't for you. Not spacing correctly. So you do kids out there that are real big nerds and shit, it's not all about analytics, it's about knowing how to play the game, mate. Alright, what else we got? Oh my god, this is a great one. So my friend Ogun, he tweeted out, all my saying is the NBL is trying to make the broadcast family friendly. Coaches are saying, hey, let's communicate better and work together on that. Is that cool? Awesome. Oh, mate. Ogun. Number one, revert back to when there was swearing earlier in this season. This issue was raised. Comments were along the lines of exactly what I said. See, I was talking about like how it's weird that coaches aren't allowed to swear and like all this sort of shit. And I think it's fucking dumb, mate. And then this guy is like, oh, nah, it's good to have the conversation. All right, anyway, I'll keep on typing. Two, no one mentioned freedom of speech. You did. Nice one. By the way, I noticed your bio no longer reads scout. Nice one, mate. And then Ogun, he comes back and says, I'll change my bio lots. Thanks for noticing. Nice. And I'm going to retweet back to him. You changed your bio because you were never a scout and got called out for it. Nice one, Ogun. Australia's Woj, my bum. Hey, oh, that's a nice one. Ogun even, he keeps talking back to me, mate. Number five, I actually explained how I was. I change things when I like, not when you like. Number six, don't get triggered by my bio. Number seven, see you at the game, the Savo. Yeah, Ogun, you are our secret scout. The James Bond of basketball scouts. Crying emoji, thumbs up emoji. It's pretty funny. He's a good bloke, though, I'll tell you that much. Oh, now these jokers. Ben, he jumps in and says, I'm a political commentator because people talk to me about politics. Oh, it's because Ogun replied and actually said, this is funny. So he says, if you follow my work since I started my career, you know it's a public knowledge that I scout high school and college guys. Keep up. If you don't know that NBA teams converse with people like me, then I can't help you. You are being outraged by this is so much fun, though. Nice one, Ogun. Difference between conversing with someone and being a scout. Your spin is perfect for the industry you work in. You have it down perfect. A few NBA teams reached out to me about a Kings teammate. I am now a scout. Nice one. The political commentator guy's funny. And this guy also, Xavier, he says, I also happened to drive past a high school recently and while stopped at the lights, saw some kids playing basketball. I guess I too have become a scout. Nailed it. It's pretty good. Oh, and there was this big article as well written about me by like, the Telegraph by Matt Loge, and he said about like pressure and like, you know, all the NBA stars trying to play for the Boomers. I've got to correct it. Wrong. My pressure comment was in reference to Andre having to pick only 12 players out of the very many performing around the world, as in the hardest thing will be picking who to leave out of the squad. Clickbait headlines, thumbs down the emoji. Oh, and then they did like they changed it for me, mate. Telegraph Sports say now, with so many big money NBA stars available, Andrew Bogut says Boomers coach Andre Lemanis faces a huge task trying to pick a final 12-man squad for the World Cup. Oh, nice one. Appreciate the correction, at Matt Loge. Nice one. Good job. Say it's not all fake news out there. Oh, how good is this one? Harrison Hymans, he says, victory reaction after another failed police search for flares. Ha, love it. That is a funny as shit video. You need to go watch it. Oh, my God. It's very funny. Oh, yeah, because all soccer fans take fucking flares to games, you dickheads. NBA TV, they tweeted out Clay Thompson, dropped 43 points tonight. He also only dribbled the ball four times. Four times! I better tweet that out. Four dribbles, 43 points. Four! Hashtag ball movement. Nice one, Bogey. That was pretty good. And this one is fucking hilarious, mate. So I got a photo of all these plastic straws. Better tweet that one out. A family member of mine just sent me this photo of a recent purchase in case I'm ever running low. Thumbs up emoji, flex emoji, flex emoji. It's a bunch of deco straws. Nice one. Nice one. Oh, wait. What the fuck? This dukehead, Jack Nagel, he says, outspoken and close-minded. You fit Sydney. Yes. Yet you follow me, Jack. Dickhead. Smiley poke out, tongue emoji. Oh, and this other dickhead, Jim Rollins, he says, unless medical, men should not use sissy sticks to drink. What the fuck are you talking about, Jim? What about toddlers, tough guy? You fucking nong. Jesus. Titania McGrath, I love this account, it's my favorite. It also says, it tweeted out yesterday, if I have a one slight point of political disagreement with somebody, that's enough for me to know that they're a Nazi. Nice one. This is the best account on Twitter. Daily crying laughing emojis. I love it. It's very funny. All right, and the last one for today, the NBL tweeted out, NBL 19 is all about hammers and the chase for hardware. We've even got more now. We're Bunnings joining the NBL family. Prayer hands emoji. Oh, what the fuck? Now you sign a deal with Bunnings? Been there so much since moving to Sydney, I tell the staff what aisle things are in. I'm definitely the NBL MVP for Bunnings trips. Oh, geez. Sweat it out emoji. Nice one. That's a good one, Bogey. All right, and that's it for this week. That's all we have time for. I've been Andrew Bogut. Catch me next week on NBA Australia for more. Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.